This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and super honored to meet here with you each and every day on the dial, Monday through Friday. And those of you listening in on the podcast, of course, 7 days a week for you, whenever you choose, on demand, and of course at stewardship.com as well. This is a call-in show. It's a free call at 866-357-3283. That phone number again is 866-357-3283. And many of you bypass the phone and you go to email. And you email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, I'm so pumped that, here we are. And we're in the middle of June. And event season has come to an end this spring season, and man, it has been a lot of fun. And I did want to mention it, though, that June, July, August, those are great months. If you're interested in bringing in myself, or maybe it's one of our other Ramsey personalities to come in and speak for you or your organization, or to share some thoughts, or maybe help out your organization, feel free to give us a call, again, at 866-357-3283, and we'd be glad to do that. And especially those of you cities that are listening in from up north, north of Tennessee, the summer's a good time to bring us in, because obviously the weather, some of y'all, I was just in Minnesota last month, and some of y'all have two seasons. You've got August, and you've got white. And we are interested in those months that don't end with if you know what I mean. But anyway, so we're just excited about summer season. Looks different for us, but it is a season where you can kind of connect with us a little bit more than normal, because we're not in the hustle and bustle of spring and the fall and all the Ramsey events that we already have. So again, the number is 866-357-3283. And we got our first call on the line from Cincinnati, one of those up north states. This is Donna. Donna, how you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help?
Well, I recently went through my credit report and I paid off some overdue stuff. And my question is, can I get any of the negative removed, and that I've paid it off? Do these companies actually do, you know, so it gets removed off of your credit report? Are any of these, you know, legit, or is it just taking your money and running kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm not aware of it actually falling off as if it was never there. 7 years would be the minimum, 10 years for a bankruptcy. So it just changes the status of it. It goes from, I think, owed or something like that to completed or closed, I think is the word it's used, is closed. When it's closed, that means it's been fulfilled, or you've, you know, done your due diligence. But it does show up that there was a collection that was necessary and that did go through that process, and it's there for 7 years. And I'm not aware of anything you can do to get it to be completely gone before 7 years. So I'm just not aware of that. But of course, yeah, you're doing the right thing by changing it. And I think it does help a lot of going from open and delinquent to fulfilled and closed, even though there was some late stuff in there. Making it all right definitely helps your credit, for sure.
And how long when after you pay something off? I know they say like 30 to 60 days by the time it's reported back to the credit report.
That's a good time frame, maybe as much as 90. It all depends on the efficiency of the organization and how many people are involved, if there's second and third parties involved in the collection process. A lot of it depends on how long it was delinquent. That means the longer it's delinquent, the more people that are involved, because it gets sold to a second party and a third party and a fourth party, and they all kind of get a cut from whatever's collected eventually. So, but I think a good 30 to 90 days would be good.
And then when you've paid these off, does that anywhere start to elevate your credit score?
Yes. And just let me just say this, just because I got to feel good about myself by saying this. I am not for a hypersensitivity to worshiping the credit score. Obviously, I'd want you guys to not rely on the credit score, because what that does is it's elevating, or what it's doing is it's explaining your how good you are at borrowing. And obviously, we're against borrowing. We don't want you to borrow. We don't want you to be taking out loans. And if you're interested in maybe a home mortgage in the future, which is maybe, Donna, why you're asking, I'd want you to do some manual underwriting. So that might even be an option you want to do now, is go to a manual underwriter. And so they can look at your situation with their own eyes, not a computer program. And they can say, yeah, she's at 550, or yeah, she's at 600, but she's living off 50% of her income, or whatever it might be, 75% of her income. All these things were closed. She did all the right things. And they can actually make a decision with their brain instead of a computer program. So that is available. I know one company that does that is Churchill Mortgage, and I would highly recommend them, Churchill Mortgage. And you can find out more information about them at obviously their website, and also at DaveRamsey.com. But yeah, I don't want you to be super, your identity's obviously not wrapped up in that credit score, but for your scenario, if you're kind of worried about those kind of things, paying them off is definitely something that helps. And it's obviously something that the Bible tells us to do too. So you're on the right track.
Right.
Yeah. And one other thing too, that, as you go to buy the house, the more that you put down, the easier it's going to be accepted for a mortgage. So it's just going to less risk for the company. So, but that's unfortunately, I don't think there's a way to circumvent the 7-year drop off.
Mm. Well, I appreciate the help.
All right. Thank you, Donna.
The answers. You have a blessed day.
You too. Folks, those of you that have issues with your report, your credit report, I can't tell you strongly enough. Okay. Your identity is not wrapped, and that's not what Donna was saying at all, but those of you that have just feel this anxiety and this condemnation about your credit report, I want to remind you of Isaiah 64:8. Says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We're all in the work of your hand. And so we're all in process. And I don't want you to feel this identity wrapped up in your credit score. All of us, no matter what it looks like, we're all in a process. We're all in his hands. We are all the clay. And so hopefully that encourages you. Folks, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com.
Got an email here from Jennifer. Says, I'm a single mother of 3 girls. I work full-time as a social worker and also have a part-time job. I have taken Financial Peace University and I'm on baby step 2. My question is on tithing. Uh-oh, everyone's perking up, right? Right there in your car, you're perking up. Tithing, uh-oh, what's he going to say? I feel that God has been speaking to me over the past few months, instructing me to tithe the full 10% instead of the 1% that I'm tithing now. Correction, Jennifer, 1% is not tithing. Tithing means 10%. So 1% is just giving. However, I quite literally will not be able to pay all my bills if I tithe 10%. So I'm confused as to why God would be pulling me in this direction. In my heart, I feel that tithing is a trust issue, and really it isn't about money. And you're correct. However, my brain acknowledges that I need to keep the lights on and a roof over our heads. And that is a real wrestle, for real. Like, and I'm glad you're honest about that. I've squeezed every area of my budget that I possibly can, and the small discretionary money that we do have, I'm applying to my debt snowball. What do you suggest for people like me, who, in order to tithe 10%, would have to stop the debt snowball altogether and potentially get behind on bills that keep our four walls intact, which means like your shelter and your food and your transportation and clothing, and keep creditors from calling? Does someone in my position take a leap of faith and increase my tithe to 10% and trust that God will ultimately provide? Or is it more responsible for me to continue tithing 1%, or we know, giving 1%, while working on the debt snowball and keeping my four walls intact? Again, clothing, shelter, transportation, and food. And eventually increasing the amount I tithe as I pay down my debt. Any insight you would have would be appreciated. Very good question. Many people listening in probably have the same question. And I just got to thank you, Jennifer, for your honesty. This right here is where the rubber meets the road, where we decide whether we're going to live by faith or we're going to live by sight. And I know right now you're saying, oh, Chris, you're about to deliver a bunch of cliches from behind a microphone. Folks, I'm telling you, I've been there. This is not cliche. I've been at this. I've probably written a very similar email before. What in the world do I do? I've got to trust. Do I trust or do I? What do I do? The quick answer, Jennifer, is yes, the full tithe. You're right. It is a trust issue. And many people discover that their finances actually get worse when they're not tithing. And you never know. We don't know how God works, but you may be struggling. You may not be making ends meet because you're not tithing. I'm not going to tell you that's what God's thinking, because that'd be very arrogant of me to say I know what God's thinking, but it very well could be. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. You're saying that you have very little. So there's a great opportunity ahead of you, because he says when you're faithful with little, he can trust you with much. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways. We think that we know, like, you just look like you sound like you're so confused. And I know many of us are confused of why would God pull me in this direction, is what you said, right? But his ways are not our ways. And thank God. Imagine if we were running things, how messed up everything would be, right? Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. He doesn't tell us exactly how things are going to work out 3 years from now, 4 years from now, even 2 months from now. It's just a little lamp upon our feet, not a big spotlight on if we tithe and stop the debt snowball, what's going to happen. We just only know his word. We know he's a lamp. His word is a lamp under my feet. So he just tells you to take the next step. We have finite minds. He's an infinite God. And we either choose to have more faith in our math or more faith in his math. It's our choice. But here's the deal. Even today, thousands of years later, we still talk about Peter getting out of the boat and obeying. We don't talk at all about those who stayed in the boat, right? We've got to get out of the boat, walk towards Jesus in obedience, and we've got to take our step. So I know that sounds like cliche, but I'm telling you, he will bless you. There's scripture after scripture after scripture that talks about this very concept. You can do it, I promise. And if you have to pause the very, very aggressive debt snowball, then that's fine. Remember, we teach you in the budgeting process, we give, then we save, and then we spend. Okay, so do not ever do the debt snowball in place of tithing. Tithing is first priority. If you've been thinking about investing lately, it's hard to dive right into investing. Okay, you need to know how it works and why you actually need to invest. And you need an investing advisor with the heart of a teacher that can answer all your questions and help you make the most out of your retirement savings. Our endorsed local provider program has been connecting people to these trustworthy investing professionals for 15 years. And I personally found my investing professional through the ELP program, and I'm proud to offer our listeners access to them as well. If you need someone who you can count on to help you with your investing needs, go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP. You'll complete this in basic investing form to get connected with a trusted expert in your area. Again, go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to get started.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Well, this next phone call comes in from Illinois. This is Allison. Allison, how you doing?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Well, I'm 22. My husband's 26. We've been married for almost 2 years now and have a six-month-old daughter.
Oh, cool.
We're kind of on a staycation right now, just trying to figure out if we're ever going to be able to own a home in the near future with our low income. So my brother-in-law, Christian Back, told us to call in and ask you. But our biggest question is if my husband should keep his job or find a new one with better pay in order for us to be able to pay off our debt quicker and be able to move into our own home soon. He works at our church and has been for 4 years now as a youth pastor, making $22,000 a year after taxes or $1,800 a month. We live in a parsonage rent-free but are responsible for the utilities. I'm a stay-at-home mom. We have $3,000 in our emergency fund already and are currently working on baby step number two of paying off the remainder of our debt. It used to be $32,000, and now it's currently down to $24,000, which is student loans, and which are on forbearance right now in a car note. We both have also taken on some side jobs to try to pay this debt down. My husband delivers pizza a couple times a week. I teach painting classes on the side. So that helps us a lot, trying to pay down the debt. But the church also gives him $900 a year for retirement, but the last 2 years we have put that towards debt too. So overall, we're just struggling because we know that you and Dave Ramsey say to only purchase a home that has a monthly payment that's less than 25% of our monthly take home. And with our current income of $22,000 a year, that would only leave us with about $450 a month for a home mortgage, which in Illinois, the lowest monthly amount is like $900 for a $100,000 home. So our big question is, should my husband remain serving in ministry and just be okay with the lower pay and we can try to figure out all this home plan stuff later? Or should we consider making changes in the next 6 to 12 months in an effort to be wise with our future, pay off our debt quicker, and also be able to pay for a house by basically doubling his income with a non-ministry job?
That was probably the most thorough question I've ever heard. I mean, you've got your act together. That was actually every single bit of information that I would have asked for, pretty much in the same order I would ask for it. So, very well. You can tell you're an overachiever and you're very organized.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I would say the first thing is you may be looking past the benefit of the parsonage and maybe not giving that enough credit. That's kind of a big deal. Okay. It might be a horrible house or it might just be old and dated, and so you're not giving it the credit, but the cost savings on that's huge. So, you said I think his salary was around $22,000 take home. So you could probably add another 20 grand on that, from the savings, because that's real savings. That's not even gross. That's like net savings. Let's be conservative and say 38, take home. And so what that really means is probably 44, 45 gross. The average salary in America is 48,600. So, you know, 22 sounds like, yes, he's underpaid, but the parsonage is a big deal. Here's the deal. You either are going to count that as real monetary benefit or you're not. It's up to you on whether you want to do that or not. But I just want you to know it's real. I wouldn't want you to think that he's underachieving or you're making less money than you really think you are. I don't want you to be resentful towards the church that they're not paying you enough.
Right.
Now, maybe you internally don't appreciate that pay structure as much as you would if it was real dollar and cents that you had options with. That's completely legit. So I do think you should have a conversation with the church on maybe pay structure and what it could look like, and not in an entitled way, just kind of bringing it up. And saying, "Hey, how could this look?" We're looking towards the future and just want to bring you in on the conversation. You guys have cared for our family for quite some time now, and we're thinking about the future. And what do you guys think's up for us next? Now, this church, what's the church size?
It's a smaller church, probably 300 members, maybe. It's not like a mega church, but, yeah. And like, we do appreciate the parsonage too. I mean, we love this home. We probably would even buy it if we could.
Yeah.
Our biggest thing is probably just, we're pretty much living paycheck to paycheck as far as this $22,000. I mean, we've even tried to, you know, Dave Ramsey says, pick up the side jobs. We've cut cable. We don't go on vacation. We don't even have real health insurance fees with Samaritan Ministries. And then just as far as paying off this debt goes, I mean, really only $150 out of our income is able to go towards the debt. We've put other loans on forbearance, trying to do that debt snowball. So with the side jobs, I mean, we're probably bringing a total of $500 a month extra with the side jobs. So we're kind of just looking at it like, you know, we wouldn't mind staying here. Like, that's totally an option for us too, is just, you know, stay off here, maybe wait for home plans later. I don't know how long that would take to pay off this debt, 5 years or so. And then we were just like, well, or do we get a new home? So that way, maybe taking that extra pay, buying a house that's, you know, super cheap, and then using that extra income to throw back at debt.
So. Is there any debt that you can just dump and get rid of immediately? Did you mention something about a car note?
Yeah, basically we purchased a new car last year. Totally not a very good decision on our part, but then we found out that I was pregnant and decided just to sell it back, and we now have the car note. It was $6,000, and now it's down to $5,000. But that's where that $150 a month out of our salary is going to, because that's not something we can just put on hold. And then the extra income kind of goes towards that other debt, whatever the lowest one is, which I think the lowest loan right now is like $3,000.
So total salary between you both is $22,000, and what'd you say you made?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I teach painting classes on the side. So roughly between that and my husband doing pizza delivery, it's about $500 a month. But I mean, that's not a fixed income. It kind of changes just depending on how many kids I get signed up for my classes, and then
so
how many
30.
Kids get for pizza.
Where would your husband work if he didn't work there? What are some other options?
I don't know. That's kind of one of the things that we're still trying to figure out. I don't think we would do a ministry job. Probably a non-ministry job would be where we're looking at. I mean, he's even thought of things as, I don't know, maybe even doing factory work or maybe starting his own business, doing landscaping stuff. He's done that in the past. So really, he's kind of open to anything, just trying to figure out what would get that income up so that way we can.
Yeah, I think that's where you're at. I think you got to know what your options are. You can't make a decision until you know your options. So I would ask that big question, what would you do otherwise? Because I don't think that you're less spiritual if you don't get a paycheck from the church. Obviously, you guys have a heart for ministry, and if he were to work somewhere else, get his paycheck from somewhere else, but be very involved and maybe even serve in the exact same capacity without the paycheck as a part-time or full-time youth pastor, obviously, you're going to want to be involved in the church. There's a lot of beauty in the church. It's God's plan A. It's the bride of Christ. But I do think this, and this could be one thing I tell you, at a church of 300, if you look at its historical basis over the last 3 or 4 years, it's not really trending up in any major way, trending up in attendance, trending up in whatever metric you want to use. Maybe it's even the budget. I don't see, based on what you've told me, any dramatic increase in his salary coming anytime soon. Him getting 22 plus a parsonage for a church of 300 is pretty strong. So I wouldn't think that that's going to go up anytime soon. So just, I mean, I don't want to be discouraging to you, but I want to give you, from somebody who comes out of church leadership, that's a pretty good salary for a church of 300. So anyway, I mean, it's not elite, but it's definitely on the upper half. Just maybe that gives you an idea. I think you need to have options and then maybe call back and we can talk about them. But whatever you do, you want to make sure you stay involved in the church. It has nothing to do with the paycheck. Psalm 27:4, folks, says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Of course, it doesn't say anything about a paycheck there, but, you definitely have a strong wrestle there. And let me just say, you have got your ducks in a row. I mean, you are maximizing that salary, and you're organized, and God's going to bless that amount of effort. So you're doing well, and stay the course, and think about other options, other revenue streams. You're very bright. Obviously, he is too. And I just know there's a revenue stream that's right around the corner. If you guys put some thought into it, that you guys could maybe make another 10, 15, 20 grand a year on the side.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Allison. Got an email here from Gina. It says, "Hey, Chris, thank you so much for your show. I've learned so much. The next step is to do it and put it into practice. Regarding credit cards, I want to know how to close them so that they actually stay closed. Thank you for your help." Well, yes, for you, these credit cards, just give them a call. And then what you want to do is you want to ask for proof of actually closing them. So some kind of documentation, maybe it's an email, maybe it's a certified letter. I don't know what it is. But as soon as you get that in your hand, then you should be good to go. And of course, you want to cut up your credit cards as well. Well, just a reminder, if you're ready to get started on investing for the future, if that's where you're at in your stewardship journey, which is baby step 4, if you're familiar with Financial Peace University, you want to let our endorsed local providers help you and just go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP. Folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.